This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
We'll begin from Ayah 224. وَلَا تَجْعَلُ اللَّهَ عُرْضَةً لِأَيْمَانِكُمْ. And do not make your oath by Allah an excuse. An excuse for what? أَن تَبَرُّوا وَتَتَّقُوا وَتُصْلِحُوا بَيْنَ النَّاسِ. Against being righteous and fearing Allah and making peace among people. لا تجعلوا, do not make. Do not make who? الله, Allah. What does it mean by do not make Allah? Meaning do not make your oath in the name of Allah. Meaning do not swear by Allah. Why? عرضة لأيمانكم, as an excuse against such and such. The word عرضة is from the root letters عين, را, ضاد. An عرضة is used for a shield. It is used for an excuse. Basically, عرضة literally means to present something. What does it mean? To present something. ثم عرضهم على الملائكة. Then he presented those things to the angels. So عرضة literally means to present something. And عرضة is anything that is presented as a shield, that a person puts in front of him as a shield. Why? So that the other who is attacking him does not attack him, does not manage to harm him, but instead his attack, his assault, where does it go? On the shield. So urda is a shield, something that a person presents in order to defend himself, in order to save himself, so that he does not get the blame, he does not get hurt. So this is what urda literally is. Urda is basically something that comes between two things: a hindrance, a shield, an excuse, something that stops. So do not make your swear by Allah, your oath by Allah, an urda, a shield, an excuse. For who? لِأَيْمَانِكُمْ, for your oath. Ayman is a plural of yameen. And yameen is from the root letters ya, mim, nun. And the word yameen is used for an oath. It is used for a swear. And the word yameen also is used for right hand. Why? Because the Arabs, whenever they would swear, when they would swear alliance, they would use their right hand, either to shake the hands. So the right hand is involved in making an oath. So do not make the name of Allah a shield for your oaths. What does it mean by this? Meaning, do not make oaths in the name of Allah to stop you from doing what? An tabarru, from doing bir, or from having taqwa. So basically, do not make oaths in the name of Allah to prevent you, to stop you from doing that which is good. Do not make oaths, do not swear oaths that you will not do something good. Do not make an oath by Allah, do not make a swear by Allah that you will not do something good. So do not vow in order to refrain from doing good things, to refrain from doing good works. Many times what happens? When people become upset, when people become frustrated, they say, fine, I'm never going to pray again. I'm never going to make dua again. I swear, I'm never going to give sadaqah again. I swear, I'm never going to give anything to this person again. So when people become angry, what do? They swear oaths by Allah and they stop themselves from doing good. So don't make the name of Allah an excuse, a shield, something that stops you from doing more good. Antabarru وَتَتَّقُوا. تَبَرُّ, as you know, is from the root letters بَرَرَ, بِر, which is used for a good deed, فِعْلُ الْخَيْرَاتِ, doing good things. وَتَتَّقُوا, تَتَّقُوا is from تَقْوَى. And what is تَقْوَى? To stay away from evil. وَتُصْلِحُوا بَيْنَ النَّاسِ, and you do إِصْلَاح between people. تُصْلِحُوا is from إِصْلَاح, and إِصْلَاح is to reconcile between two disputants so that they come to common terms and they agree with each other. They don't have any enmity or any strife between each other anymore. وَتُصْلِحُوا بَيْنَ النَّاسِ. Basically, أَنْتَ بَرُّ, وتتقوا وتصلحوا بين الناس is understood in several ways. First of all, it is said that أن تبروا actually means ألا تبروا. What does it mean? ألا تبروا, ألا تتقوا, ألا تصلحوا. And how can you give the meaning of لا? Because you see, تبروا should actually have a noon at the end. Technically, it should have a noon at the end. But when it doesn't have a noon, that means that something is affecting it, eliminating that noon. And many times, it's the la that eliminates the noon from the end of the word. For example, la ta'kulu, la ta'kulu. The word is actually ta'kuluna. The word is actually ta'kuluna. The sign of plural is what? Wow, noon, isn't it? But when la comes, what does it do? It removes the noon. So this is why many scholars have said that antabarru actually means Allah tabarru. So don't swear by Allah that you will not do bir, that you will not do good. Or don't swear by Allah that you will not have taqwa, that you will not stay away from something that is bad. Or do not swear by Allah that you will not do islah between people, just because you have become upset, just because you are frustrated. No. Don't misuse the name of Allah. Don't use the name of Allah to stop you from doing good. So the name of Allah, the swear by Allah, should not come between you and a good deed. The name of Allah should not come between you and between doing something that is good. Other scholars have said that antabarru wa tattaqu wa tuslihu bayna an-nas, what it means is that do not take false oaths by Allah in order to do good, in order to have taqwa, in order to do islah. For example, many times people swear oaths and they're false oaths. They don't actually mean it. And what do they say? By Allah, I'm going to give sadaqah. I swear I'm going to do this. I swear I will do islah between these people. I swear I'm never going to do this thing again. And they use the name of Allah just to satisfy the other person. But in reality, they don't do it. So don't misuse the name of Allah. The name of Allah is not so cheap that you can use it in a false way. Then this has also been understood as that antabarru wa tattaqu wa tuslihu bayna an-nas, that do not swear by Allah all the time, even though you may be very righteous, you may be very pious. Do not swear by Allah all the time that you will do bir, that you will have taqwa, that you will do islah between people. Just do it. Because many times, people have the habit of saying, wallahi, la wallahi, bala wallahi, I swear, I swear. Even in our language, in English, even if people don't say, by Allah, what do they say? I swear. I swear I saw that. I swear she said that. I swear I ate that. So don't swear all the time. Even for something good. Because when you swear all the time, when you swear by Allah all the time, then what happens? What happens? Words, they lose their meaning. They become cliche. And they don't have any effect anymore. People don't believe you. And you don't realize the importance of what you're actually saying. It becomes very casual. So don't swear all the time. Just do it. Wallahu sami'un alim. And Allah is hearing, and He is also knowing. So He is hearing of what you say, meaning He hears every oath that you swear. And He is alim. He knows about what you do. He knows about the actions that you commit. So basically we see over here that we have been discouraged from swearing oaths, from taking oaths all the time, unnecessarily. And we have also been discouraged over here from swearing oaths to not do something good. Swearing oaths for not doing something good. Therefore, if a person took an oath of not doing something good, then what should he do? He should break that oath. He should break that oath. And instead, he should do that which is good. There is a hadith which is mentioned in Sahih Muslim, in which the Prophet ﷺ said, that whoever makes a vow, and then finds what is better than his vow, what should he do? He should break his vow. He should break his qasam. He should pay the kafara, and perform the deed that is better. So don't swear by Allah and say that you're not going to do something good. And if you have done this, then what should you do? Break that oath and do that which is good. The name of Allah should not come between you and a good deed. Then Allah says, لَا يُؤَاخِذُكُمُ اللَّهُ. Allah will not call you to account. يُؤَاخِذُ is from the root letters Hamza, Kha, Dhal. أَخْذ. What does أَخْذ mean? To take something. And أَخَذَ, يُؤَاخِذُ is to hold someone accountable. To seize, to hold someone accountable. To punish someone for what they have done. To impose blame upon them. So, لَا يُؤَاخِذُكُمُ اللَّهُ. Allah will not call you to account, meaning Allah does not impose any blame on you. You're not sinful if you do this. You're not going to be punished if you do this. You don't have to pay the kafara if you do this. You don't have to pay any expiation if you do this. If you do what? بِاللَّغْوِ فِي أَيْمَانِكُمْ. With regards to vain or useless when it comes to your oaths. So basically, unintentional oaths, unintentional vows. Allah will not call you to account for that. What does it mean by this word law? Law is from the root letters lam, ghain, waw. And literally the word law is used for a shay'u saqit, meaning something that is unnecessary. Saqit is one that is dropped, meaning you don't pay any attention to it. It's unnecessary. It's not counted. It's not listed. So lagh is what? Something that is unnecessary. It is not counted. It is not listed. You don't really count it. And especially this is in speech, in words. For example, sometimes when people talk, they use some words unintentionally. Why? Because they are a part of their speech. For instance, some people have a habit of saying like, or actually, or really. So, when people say really, or actually, or like, do you notice all those words? You don't. You tend to ignore them, and you focus on what they're really saying. So, love is that which is unnecessary. It is not listed. It is not counted. It is not given any importance. And especially this is in speech. It is said, لَغَ الطَّيْرُ بِأَصْوَاتِهَا. What are الطَّيْرُ? Birds. So when they make noise, when they're chirping, do you count every chirp? No. All that you know is that the birds are chirping. That's it. And the word لَغْ is used in several ways in the Quran. First of all, the word لَغْ is used for useless talk. Useless conversation. That is meaningless. That does not bring any benefit to people. You can talk and talk about those things for hours, and at the end of the day, there's really no benefit. Only you're tired by talking. Or the other person is tired by listening to you. So, love is used for useless conversation. And it's not just used for useless conversation, it is also used for useless action. Something that a person is indulged in, and it's completely useless. It's not bringing him any benefit. For example, a person is playing a game for like 3 hours. A simple game on his phone or on her phone. And if you play that game once or twice, okay, you know, you learn about it, you find it interesting. But if you play the same game over and over and over again, at the end what happens? Even you get bored of it. So this is what love is. Useless conversation, useless action, useless indulgence. Not just in speech. The word love is also used for making noise. And it's also used for an unintentional statement. So over here, love gives a meaning of unintentional ayman, yameen. Because bil-lagwi fi aymanikum. Ayman again is a plural of yameen. What is yameen? An oath, a swear. So bil-lagwi fi aymanikum, meaning Allah will not hold you accountable. Allah will not punish you for those oaths that you swear unintentionally. For those oaths that you make spontaneously, carelessly. Why? Because it's your habit. It's a habitual statement. You say it out of habit, and you say it without thinking. Now, what is included in this? Some have said that this means swearing on every little thing. For example, some people say, La wallahi, wala wallahi, wallahi, in every little thing. And they don't actually mean that they're swearing. It's just a part of speech, and they say it without thinking. They're not actually swearing like they would swear in a court. So this is what it means. And Aisha radhiyallahu anha, she explained this as اللغو في اليمين هو كلام الرجل في بيته كلا والله وبلا والله. That اللغو in an oath is that a person would speak just at his house, in his home, that no, by Allah, rather by Allah. So when a person says that, this is what love is in Ayman. But this does not mean that a person should adopt this manner, or that a person should make it a habit to say Wallahi all the time. Because we know from the Quran that the successful people are those who هُمْ عَنِ اللَّغْوِ مُعْرِضُونَ, those who turn away, who leave all love, even if it's in speech. However, if a person has that habit from before, and if he's trying to get rid of it, or he doesn't realize and he says it because it's habit, that's what he hears all the time, and so he ends up saying it as well, then in that case, he's not going to be held accountable. Because it's a part of speech. He says it spontaneously. He says it without thinking, out of habit. Secondly, it is said that بِاللَّغْوِ فِي أَيْمَانِكُمْ, لَغْ in أَيْمَان refers to a person swearing an oath while he is angry, or while he is overcome by his emotions. He's not really thinking properly, and in the state of anger, he swears. That I swear I'm never going to speak to her again. I swear I'm never going to do this again. Like, for instance, you cook food and people don't eat it, you're like, that's it. I swear I'm never going to cook food for them again. But you do cook. You have to cook. So when a person becomes angry and he swears, then this is what? Law. And this is the opinion of Ibn Abbas radhiyallahu anhu. He said that the law vow includes vowing while a person is angry. So لا يؤاخذكم الله باللغو في أيمانكم. Other opinions are also there, but basically these two are the main important ones. That when a person vows without thinking, unintentionally, he doesn't realize what he's saying, it's just a part of his speech, it's a habit, and he says it. So in that case, a person is not held accountable. However, Allah says, وَلَكِنْ but, meaning rather, يُؤَخِذُكُمْ, He will definitely call you to account, you are accountable, you will be punished, you have to give kafara in the case when بِمَا كَسَبَتْ, for that which has earned, what has earned, قُلُوبُكُمْ, your hearts. كَسَبَتْ is from كَسْب, and what does that mean? To earn something, to do something, to do some action in order to gain some result at the end, whether it is positive or negative. So He will call you to account for that which your hearts have earned. What does it mean by this? Your hearts have earned, meaning what you swear deliberately, what you swear intentionally, knowingly. So the oath that you swear with intention, with determination, those you are responsible for them. And this can be understood with another ayah in the Quran, which is in Surah Al-Ma'idah, ayah 89, where Allah says, لَا يُؤَاخِذُكُمُ اللَّهُ بِاللَّغْوِ فِي أَيْمَانِكُمْ وَلَكِنْ يُؤَاخِذُكُمْ بِمَا عَقَّدْتُمُ الْأَيْمَانِ. Allah will not impose blame upon you for what is meaningless in your oaths, but He will impose blame upon you for breaking what you intended of oaths. So any oath, any swear that a person makes intentionally, knowingly, consciously, then he is responsible for that. He will be called to account for that. He has to fulfill it. And if he goes against it, he has to give kafara for it. Now, one important thing that we learn from this ayah is مَا كَسَبَتْ قُلُوبُكُمْ, what your hearts have earned, what your hearts have acquired. What does it show? That just as our limbs, our hands, our body, it performs certain actions, our tongue performs actions, similarly, our hearts also perform actions. And some of these actions, a person is accountable for them. If a person writes something with his hand, that's an action that he's doing with his hand. If he goes somewhere, if he walks with his feet, it's an action that his feet have performed. And he is accountable for that. Similarly, there are some actions of the heart for which a person is accountable. And what are those actions of the heart? The actions of the heart include, first of all, intention. Niyyah. When a person intends to do something. When a person makes the intention to do something or to not do something. Similarly, another action of the heart is hate. Hatred. When a person hates another, which leads to jealousy, envy. Jealousy is also an action of the heart. Similarly, love. Loving someone is an action of the heart. Iman is an action of the heart. Kufr is an action of the heart. Yaqeen, certainty, is an action of the heart. Fear is an action of the heart. So all of these feelings, emotions, what are they? They're actions of the heart. And for some of them, a person is accountable for, which is when he firmly intends to do something, or when he consciously says something knowing about what he's actually saying. So for example, a person makes an oath while he's conscious of what he's swearing. So Allah will call you to account for that which you swear deliberately. Wallahu ghafurun haleem. And Allah is forgiving and He is also forbearing. Who is ghafur? One who forgives. And notice, ghafur, it's not just ghafir. Ghafir is one who forgives. But ghafur shows mubalagha. And what is mubalagha? The excess in the action. Or that the quality of that action is very intense. So ghafur is not just one who forgives once or twice, but he is one who forgives again and again. And one is ghafir, then there is ghafur, and then there is ghaffar. Ghaffar. Ghaffar is also one of the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah is forgiving. Forgiving of what? Of the oaths that you make unintentionally. Of just what slips out of your mouth unintentionally. And He is also Haleem. This name of Allah, Haleem, it's a very beautiful name. From the root letters Halameen, Hilm. And Hilm is to control oneself. It is the ability to have self-control at the time of extreme anger. At the occasion of extreme anger, upsetness. When a person is angry, when someone is angry, generally what do? They express their anger. They say words that they shouldn't say. They sometimes hit, sometimes beat the other person. They scream. They hurt themselves. They hurt other people. They hurt other things. Sometimes when people become angry, they throw things on the ground. Children throw tantrums. Hilm is the ability to control oneself at the time of anger. At the time when you're upset with someone. And when someone controls oneself at this situation, what does he do? He does not show the anger. He does not take revenge. He does not inflict punishment. Just imagine if a child has made you angry. What do you want to do? Slap him across the face. Or say that you're grounded. You're not going. But Hilm is to say, that's it. I'm not saying anything. I'm not doing anything. Khalas. You just close yourself. That's it. So when Allah is Haleem, what does it mean by that? Because people can also be Haleem. But when Allah is Haleem, what does it mean? Allah who is most tolerant. That we sin day in and day out. We upset Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We do those actions which invite the anger of Allah, which invite the punishment of Allah. But is it that the moment we sin, the moment we utter a lie, the moment we do something wrong, immediately we're punished? Does it happen? If that were the case, then nobody would be alive on the earth. Nobody at all. Allah is Haleem, that despite the power and ability that He has to impose blame, to take revenge, to inflict punishment, what does He do? He forgives, or He delays. He gives more and more chances to people, more and more time to people, so that they can realize the wrong that they're doing, and they can repent. So He is Haleem. You misuse the name of Allah. You swear oaths all the time. But still, Allah is Haleem. He delays the punishment for the one who deserves it. So Allahu Ghafurun Haleem. Allah is forgiving, and He is also most tolerant. Let's listen to the recitation.
ولا تجعلوا الله عرضة لأيمانكم أن تبروا وتتقوا وتصلحوا بين الناس والله سميع عليم لا يؤاخذكم الله باللغو في أيمانكم ولكن يؤاخذكم بما كسبت قلوبكم وَاللَّهُ غَفُورٌ حَلِيمٌ.
So we see that at the end of the day, the matter of every person is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah knows about what we have said deliberately and what we have said by mistake, unintentionally. And depending on the intention, Allah will deal with people. لِلَّذِينَ يُؤْلُونَ مِن نِسَائِهِمْ. For those who swear إِلَى with their wives. لِلَّذِينَ يُؤْلُونَ مِن نِسَائِهِمْ. يُؤْلُونَ is from the root letters Hamza, Lam, Waw. أَلْوُن means to not do something or to neglect doing something. A person should do something, but what does he do? He doesn't do it. Or a person can do something, but what does he do? He neglects it. He doesn't bother doing it. So this is what alw is. It is to not do something, to neglect doing something. And ila literally means to fall short in doing what a person must do. There is a particular action which somebody must do. What is ila? To not do it. It is said, أَلَوْتُ فِي الْأَمْرِ. أَلَوْتُ is from إِلَى, فِي الْأَمْرِ, meaning I fell short in doing such and such. I didn't do it properly, or I didn't do it completely, or I didn't do it at all. إِلَى, as a technical term, as a term in fiqh, is used for the swear or the oath that a man takes, the swear or the oath, the vow that a man makes of what? Of staying away from his wife. And staying away means not approaching her sexually. So it is a vow of sexual abstention by a husband from his wife for a period of time. So for example, a person swears that I will not approach my wife for the next year. I will not have any physical contact with her. I will not have any sexual intercourse with her for the next year, or for the next week, or for 5 years, or for 5 months. We see that the relationship between a husband and wife is a very normal relationship. It's human beings, and just as in any relationship human beings have ups and downs, similarly a husband and wife also have ups and downs. They have fights, they have arguments. Sometimes they love each other, sometimes they hate each other. Sometimes they want to talk to each other, sometimes they don't want to see each other. And sometimes, in the state of extreme anger, or at the occasion of extreme anger, some people, what they do is, or rather this was a custom in the Arabs, that they would make an oath, they would swear an oath, that that's it, I'm not going to have any sexual intercourse with my wife for the next year, for the next 5 years. And when this would happen, who suffers? It's the woman who suffers. Because neither is she divorced, that she is free to marry someone else, nor is she married in a way that she's getting her haqq, that she's getting her right. And for a man, especially in that culture, it wouldn't make a difference. Why? Because he would have other wives. So this poor wife is being ignored all the time, and she's neither married, nor is she divorced. So this would make the woman suffer a lot. So now the ruling is being given for those people who would swear to stay away from their wives. So لِلَّذِينَ يُؤْلُونَ مِن نِسَائِهِمْ, those people who make the swear or who swear not to have sexual relations with their wives, what do they have to do? تَرَبَّصُوا أَرْبَعَةِ أَشْهُرٍ, they have to wait for how long? 4 months. تَرَبَّص is from the root letters رَا بَا صَاد, رَبْص, and رَبْص literally means to wait for something, to be on the lookout for something. And تَرَبَّص is to wait for a time period to be over. What does it mean? To wait for a time period to be over. It is to wait for some work to be completed, to come to an end. So for example, something takes a year to do. Some course takes 18 months to do. So what is tarabbus? That you wait for the end. That when this is over, when this is completed, then I will move on to this. This is what tarabbus is. So for those people who swear that they will not have any sexual relation with their wife, they are to wait for 4 months. What does it mean by this? They are to wait for 4 months. Meaning the maximum time period that is valid for ila is 4 months. Not more than that. The husband cannot make ila for 1 year, for 5 years, for 5 months, for 4 months and 10 days. No. He can only swear to stay away from his wife for a maximum of 4 months. Not more than that at all. And if he swears for more than 4 months, for like a year, for 6 months, for 5 years, then what is he supposed to do? At the end of 4 months, he has to decide. He has to decide. What does he have to decide? Either he is keeping the wife, or he is going to divorce her. And if he does not divorce her, then the law will step in. And the judge, he is going to make that marriage contract invalid. So, تَرَبَّصُوا أَرْبَعَةِ أَشْهُرٍ, the maximum waiting time is 4 months. It's only valid for 4 months. And after that, the man has to decide. Either he's keeping the wife or he's letting her go. She cannot be just tied up in a wedlock and she's not treated as a married woman, nor is she freed to go marry someone else. فَإِنْ فَأُوا, then if they returned. فَأُوا from the root letters فَأَيَا هَمْزَة, فَأَي is to return, فَأَ إِلَى is to return to something. So فَإِنْ فَأُوا, if they return. Who does they refer to? The men. Because it's الَّذِينَ يُؤْلُونَ, it's the men who swear oath. So فَإِنْ فَأُوا, if these men, meaning who have sworn the إِلَى, if they return to who? If they return to their wives, meaning if they give up their oath and they resume normal relationship with their wife. When? At the end of the 4 months, or at the end of the ila, even if it was less than 4 months. But remember, it cannot be more than 4 months. So فَإِنْ فَأُوا فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ, then indeed Allah is forgiving and merciful. Forgiving and merciful to who? To the men. Because they have done ظلم upon themselves and also upon their wives. But let's say that there is no mutual understanding either. It is something that is wrong. Which is why when they do return, then Allah forgives them. Forgiveness is for what? For a sin, for a wrong that is committed, for an action that is incorrect. So their swearing an ila is not something that is correct, which is why when they return, when they repent, then Allah is forgiving towards them for the sin that they have committed. Now, over here we see that the man, he swears an oath that he will stay away from his wife. But what if a man and woman, a husband and wife, they're living together, and they don't necessarily, the man does not necessarily take an oath, but for 4 months they don't have any relationship. For 4 months they don't have any relationship. Or let's say a man and woman, they're married, but the man is traveling. He's out of the country, he's out of the city, and he hasn't met his wife for more than 4 months, for more than a year. Does it mean that their marriage has to come to an end? Either divorce or come back? No. As long as there is a mutual understanding. For example, the woman is sick or the man is sick. They're ill. And it cannot be thought of they would have any sexual relationship. Or they're living in two different countries. They're married, but they're living in two different countries. So, with mutual understanding, it is allowed to not have any relationship. But if a man swears that he will not have any relationship, then in that case, he cannot mistreat the woman like that. The maximum time that he has is 4 months. But let's say that there is no mutual understanding either. The man does not have any interest in his wife. He stays away from her. Or deliberately he leaves her. He's always traveling. He's always out. And the woman feels neglected. The woman feels it's unfair for her. Her right is not being given. The man does not give any time to her. Then in that case, the woman has the right to take the man to the court and get that whole problem solved. Because the woman cannot be mistreated like that. So, the first case is of ila. Another case is of mutual understanding. And a third case is neither of ila nor is it of mutual understanding. So then in that case, the woman will go to the court and the qadi will decide, the judge will decide as to what they're supposed to do. وَإِنْ عَزَمُوا الطَّلَاقَ. And if they resolve upon divorce, they decided to have divorce. عَزَمُوا. عَزَمُوا, again, they in عَزَمُوا refers to the same men. Okay, the plural does not refer to man and woman because it's the man who gives divorce, not the woman. So فَإِنْ عَزَمُوا الطَّلَاقَ. The word عَزَمُوا is from عَيْن زَيْمِيم. And azm is to firmly intend to do something. To decide. To make a decision. That's it. This is what I'm going to do. So if the men, upon the completion, or upon the end of the term, of the 4 month waiting term, if they decide that they're not going to keep the woman, they're not going to keep that wife, if they decide to give divorce, then فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ سَمِيعٌ عَلِيمٌ. Allah is hearing, and He's also knowing. The word الطلاق is from the root letters ta lam qaf, and talaq is divorce. What does it literally mean? It literally means takhliya. What does takhliya mean? Remember tazkiya, the two meanings of tazkiya, takhliya and tahliya. Takhliya from khala yakhlu, to empty something, to take something out, to make a position vacant. It's empty. You see vacancies, whether it's position or a job or whatever, it's when something is empty, it's made vacant. And secondly, talaq means, literally it means irsal. What does irsal mean? To let something go, to send something. It is said, utliqatun naqa. What is a naqa? A she-camel. Utliqat, she was set free. She was released from the bondage. Just imagine a camel that is tied up with a rope to a pole. She's tied up, she's restricted, she can't go around. So utliqat, you open her up, you untie her, and you let her go. She's free to wander about. This is the literal meaning of the word. And takhliya, because once the camel is free, it'll go. And that place will become empty then. Remember the meaning of nikah? What is nikah? Aqdun nikah. To tie together, to join together, man and woman in a relationship. And talaq is to untie that knot. It is to dissolve that contract. It is to dissolve that relationship. So that the man and woman who were related before are not related anymore. The man and woman who were libas for each other are now strangers for each other. This is what talaq is. So, in azamul talaqa, if these men who had sworn the ila against their wives, if they decide to give talaq, then indeed Allah is hearing, and He's also knowing. What does it mean by this? That after the passing of 4 months, the man has to decide. Either he is going to keep the wife, or he is going to give divorce. And if he says the divorce, then Allah is hearing. He has heard his words of talaq. And he is alim, he knows about the situation. Sometimes people verbally pronounce the talaq. They say talaq. And other times, what do? They send documents. So If the man pronounces the divorce verbally, Allah has heard it. And if he sends a written document, Allah knows of it. فَإِنْ عَزَمُ الطَّلَاقَ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ سَمِيعٌ عَلِيمٌ Allah is hearing and He's also knowing. Let's listen to the recitation.
لِلَّذِينَ يُؤْلُونَ مِن نِسَائِهِمْ تَرَبُّصُ أَرْبَعَةِ أَشْهُرٍ فَإِنْ فَاءُوا فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ وَإِنْ عَزَمُوا الطَّلَاقَ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ سَمِيعٌ عَلِيمٌ
Allahu A'lam, but 4 months is basically the limit that has been given so that the man can decide if he really wants to keep her or not. Because he cannot just keep her like that for a year, for 2 years, without any relationship. The maximum that a person can stay away from his wife is 4 months. But there could be many wisdoms behind that. For example, if a woman is pregnant and a man realizes, oh my God, she's pregnant, then he might have some feelings of compassion for her and then he might think that he should keep that relationship. Remember, ilah is different from divorce. Ilah is not pronouncing divorce. It is that you are still my wife, but I'm not going to have any relationship with you. They're living under the same roof, but he doesn't have any relationship with her. So, the 4 months is the limit that has been set. You cannot go more than this time. Because sometimes out of anger, out of becoming very upset, sometimes the wife has done something that is completely unacceptable to the man. So, in that case, what does he do? I need time. I need time away from you. Let me think on my own. So, 4 months has been given for that. Not more than that. Even if the woman is okay with that, still, if the ilah has been pronounced and the rule is, the law that Allah has given is that it should only be from 4 months and not more than that. Zihar is different. Zihar is from zahr, which is back, which is when a man would say to a woman that anti alayya ka zahri ummi, so I'm not going to have any relationship with you for life. But ila has a specific term that a man fixes. 2 days, 1 year, 5 months. It's a little different from zihar. Because when a person says, you're like to me just as my mother, what does that mean? You're completely haram upon me. I will not divorce you, but you're completely haram upon me. But this one has a time limit. وَالْمُطَلَّقَاتُ Divorced women. What about them? يَتَرَبَّصْنَ بِأَنفُسِهِنَّ ثَلَاثَةَ قُرُونَ They should remain in waiting for 3 periods. الْمُطَلَّقَاتُ is the plural of مُطَلَّقَه. And مُطَلَّقَه, the ta مربوطة at the end indicates feminine. And مُطَلَّقَه is the woman who has been divorced. The woman to whom divorce has been given. And as we know, that طَلَاق is from the root letters طَا لَام قَاف. طَلَاق is when the marriage contract has been dissolved. The marriage contract has been finished. And طلق means to set free, to let loose, to send someone away. So a woman, when she's divorced, she is free to marry someone else. She is not bound with her previous husband anymore. So المطلقات meaning those women who have been given divorce by their husbands. Divorce has been pronounced. What should they do once their husbands have pronounced divorce for them? يَتَرَبَّصْنَ يَتَرَبَّصْنَ The noon at the end indicates feminine plural. And يَتَرَبَّصْنَ is from the root letters رَا بَا صَا We did the word تَرَبُّص before. تَرَبُّص is the مصدر. And يَتَرَبَّصْنَ They should wait. What should they wait for? They should wait for the end of the term. They should remain in waiting, be anfusihinna, with themselves. How long do they have to wait? ثَلَاثَةَ قُرُوء 3 periods. Now what does it mean by يَتَرَبَّصْنَ بِأَنفُسِهِنَّ They have to wait with themselves. They have to wait with themselves means that they have to wait throughout this period alone in the sense they're not going to remarry. For 3 periods, after the divorce has been pronounced for them, they have to stay away from remarrying. So in other words, their iddah is 3 months. And notice how it has been said, يَتَرَبَّصْنَ بِأَنفُسِهِنَّ. They have to wait with themselves, as if they have to keep themselves back. Because it is the natural desire of any person, of a human being, to get married. And especially for a woman who needs the support of her husband, who needs the protection of her husband, who needs an identity. And just imagine a woman who has been divorced, who doesn't have her parents, who doesn't have siblings, or everybody settled in their own homes. Once she's divorced, she's going to think of where she's going to go next. But for 3 months, she cannot remarry, despite the natural desire to marry. يَتَرَبَّصْنَ بِأَنفُسِهِنَّ. And how long is a waiting period? 3 periods. The word قُرُو is a singular of the word قَرْ. And قَرْ is from the root letters قَافْ رَا هَمْزَ قَرْءٌ. And the word قَرْ basically means to read. قَرَأَ يَقْرَأُ. What does it mean? To read, to recite. From the same root is the word قُرْآن. What does قُرْآن literally mean? Recitation. However, another meaning of the word قَرْ is to collect together, to put together, to arrange together. Which is why it is said that the word Qur'an is called Qur'an. Why? Because in it, the surahs, the ayahs, they're all put together. They're arranged together. The wahi that Allah sent, it is arranged together. So what does it mean by qar? What does it refer to? We know the linguistic meaning is to collect, to join, to put together, to arrange together. Qar is basically understood in 2 ways. First of all, it is said that qar refers to the menstruation period itself. Menstruation itself, the hayd, when a woman is menstruating. So she has to wait for 3 menstrual periods. And at the end of her 3rd period, her iddah comes to an end. And why is it called qar? Because what happens when a woman is menstruating? The blood that had been collected in her uterus, what happens? It leaves the body. Others say that the word qar actually refers to the time period that is between 2 menstrual cycles. That is between 2 menstruations. So it is the period of tuhur. It is the period of purity or cleanliness between 2 menstrual cycles. So they have to wait for 3 quru, either for 3 periods or for the 3 periods that are between the menstruation. Now, when a man divorces his wife, then she has to wait for this period of time. How about a woman who does not have her period anymore? Or how about a woman whose menstruation, whose period is irregular? Or a woman who is pregnant? Or a woman who is too young or too old, and because of the age, she doesn't have her period anymore? What about her? Basically, in this case, it has been said that a woman who either does not have her period, then in this case, what is she supposed to do? She's supposed to wait for 3 months. And which 3 months? Lunar months. It's not January, February. It's Rajab and Sha'ban and Shawwal, etc. It has to be 3 lunar months. And as for the woman who is pregnant, we learn from other parts of the Quran and from the Hadith that she waits until she gives birth. Once she delivers her child, then her waiting period comes to an end. So basically, a woman who has been divorced, she has to wait for some time, and she's not allowed to remarry until this time period is over. And during this time, during this waiting period, the woman is actually supposed to stay in the house of her husband. This is the law. This is the command that Allah has given. Once the divorce has been pronounced, where is she? She's going to stay in the house of her husband. She's not going to leave. She's going to stay there. And during this time, it is permissible for a man to take her back. But if the 3 months are over, or if the 3 periods are over, and he hasn't done rujur to her, he hasn't gone back to her, then she will leave and the marriage contract will be dissolved. So basically, putting an end to a marriage is not as simple as saying, I divorce you. It's not as simple as saying, I divorce you. There is a lot. And the first thing is that the woman has to wait for 3 months in the house of the husband. And meanwhile, وَلَا يَحِلُّ لَهُنَّ, it is not permissible for them. It is not allowed for them. يَحِلُّ is from halal. So it is not halal for them. For who? For the women. Which women? Those women who have been divorced by their husbands. That in their iddah, that they, أَن يَكْتُمْنَ, they hide, they conceal. يَكْتُمْنَ again is from كَافْ تَعْمِيم, and the noon at the end is for feminine. So during this waiting time, they are not allowed to hide, they are not allowed to conceal, مَا خَلَقَ اللَّهُ فِي أَرْحَامِهِنَّ, that which Allah has created in their wombs. Arham is a plural of rahim or rihm, which is used for the womb or the uterus. And in the womb, as you know, what happens in the womb? The fetus is there, right? The pregnancy is there. So whatever that Allah has created in their wombs, they must not hide it. They must not conceal it. Now what does it refer to? مَا خَلَقَ اللَّهُ فِي أَرْحَامِهِنَّ. This refers to two things. First of all, حَمُل, pregnancy. That if during those 3 months the woman realizes that she's pregnant, she hasn't had her period, then she should not conceal that pregnancy from the husband, from the man. That he has divorced me, I'm not going to tell him that I'm pregnant, and as soon as I'm free, that's it, I'm going to marry somebody else and my life is going to be changed. So basically, she cannot hide from the husband if she is pregnant. Secondly, it is said that مَا خَلَقَ اللَّهُ فِي أَرْحَامِهِنَّ refers to حَيْض. It refers to menstruation, because the blood is from there. So the woman should not hide from her husband if and when she gets her period. This ayah basically leaves it to the woman that it is her responsibility to keep a check of her menstrual cycle, to keep account of her periods, and she should not hide the pregnancy or the period from her husband. Why? Because if she is pregnant, and if she does not tell her husband, if she does not tell anybody, and as soon as her iddah is over, she goes and marries somebody else, then what's going to happen? The child is going to be attributed to the wrong father. The child is going to be attributed to not his biological father. So in this case, there is zulm that the woman would be doing. Also, if you look at it, that if the woman, if she hides her period, then what's going to happen? The man will not be able to do rujur to her if he wishes to. It is said that the women, sometimes what they would do is that if she wanted divorce and she didn't want the man to approach her, if the man wished to approach her, she would say, I have my period. And the man would stay away from her. And like this, she would lie about her period until eventually the 3 month waiting time would be over and the divorce would occur and the man and the woman would be separated. So because it is of the hidden matters, it is of the private matters of the women, therefore it has been left to the women that they know about their matters and they should not conceal them from their husbands. In kunna, if they were, yu'minna billahi wal yawmil akhir, if they really believe in Allah and the last day. What does it mean by this? This is basically a warning, a threat that is being given to the women. That if you truly believe in Allah and the last day, if you truly believe in Allah and the day of judgment, then you should not conceal what is in your womb. You should not hide the pregnancy, and you should not hide the period. And sometimes we see that because it's a very private matter, nobody else can know whether you're having your period or not. Sometimes young girls, they lie about having their periods or not having their period. And like this, what happens? they don't pray salah and their period goes on for months, and they don't fast and their period goes on for like 10-15 days. So this is a matter that is private, that only a woman knows about. And in this case, she should fear Allah, not the people around her. But who should she fear? Allah and the last day. But okay, fine, I can lie about it today and nobody will ask me as to why I'm not praying or why I'm not fasting. But Allah knows the reality. And on the Day of Judgment, the reality will be exposed. I can hide from people, I can fool them today, but I cannot fool Allah. Because at the end of the day, the matter is between who? The slave and Allah. Not between people. So over here Allah says that they should not hide whatever that Allah has created in their wombs if they believe in Allah and the last day. So before we move on, we see over here that their iddah has been mentioned for the divorced woman. Their iddah for divorce is how long? 3 periods. 3 menstrual cycles. Those women who do not have their menstrual cycles anymore, what about them? 3 lunar months. What about a widow? How much is her iddah? How much is her waiting period? 4 months and 10 days. And in the case of khulr, in the case when a woman takes divorce from her husband, then in that case the waiting period is 1 month. And in the case where a woman is pregnant, then the waiting period is until she delivers. Then Allah says, وَبُعُولَتُهُنَّ, and their husbands, whose husbands? The husbands of the divorced women, they are أَحَقُّ, they have more haqq, they have more right, they are more deserving. Than who? Than the women. So the husbands have more right than the women over what? بِرَدِّهِنَّ, to take them back. فِي ذَلِكَ, in that. What does it mean by that? The word بُعُول is used for husbands. Another word that we used for spouses was زَوْج or أَزْوَاج, which is the plural of زَوْج. Remember that the word زَوْج can be used for husband or wife. However, the word بُعُول, which is the plural of بَعْل, can only be used for husband. Remember that. زَوْج can be used for husband or wife, but the word بَعْل is only used for husband. What does the word بَعْل mean? بَعْل, in Arabic, anything that has superiority over the other is called بَعْل, a lord, or someone of high position. Which is why we see that one of the previous nations, they named one of their gods بَعْل, as we will study in the Quran. أَتَدْعُونَ بَعْلًا, do you call upon بَعْل? So بَعْل is anything or anyone who has superiority over others, a lord, or someone of higher position. Now why is the husband called بَعْل? Over here specifically he's been called بَعْل because he has the right to pronounce divorce and the woman does not have that right. And also we know that the husband is the one who is responsible for the wife. He is the one who spends on the wife. He is the one who looks after the wife. The woman is not responsible to spend on the husband. It's the responsibility of the husband to provide for the wife and the children. Because he has that responsibility, therefore, he has a higher position as well. So therefore, the husband is called بَعْل. So their husbands have more right بِرَدِّهِنَّ. What does رَد mean? To return. Over here, it means to take them back. So basically, the husband has the right to do rujur to his wife, meaning to return to his wife, to take his wife back during fi dhalika, in that. What does dhalika refer to? During the waiting period. So, during the waiting period, the man has the right to take the woman back. Talaq is basically given 2 times and the 3rd divorce is final. The revocable divorce, meaning if a man gives divorce to his woman the first time ever, then he has the permission to take her back in the waiting period. If he divorces the woman the 2nd time, then again he has the permission to take her back in the waiting period. But if he divorces her the 3rd time, then he's not allowed to take her back. Then their separated forever. So over here, فِي ذَلِكَ, ذَلِكَ refers to this تَرَبُّص, meaning this waiting time, and it refers to the first or second divorce. It refers to the revocable divorce. And if after the waiting period, after like about a year or two, both are living separately and they decide, you know, it was a mistake, we should get married, we should be together, so then they have to perform the nikah. But within the waiting period, if the man does rujur, then there is no nikah. The first divorce is completely different and separate from the second divorce, which is completely different and separate from the third one. It's three different occasions, three different times completely. This return, rad, taking them back, is only possible in the first and second divorce, okay, in the revocable divorce. So over here we see that the husbands have more right to take them back in this time, meaning in the waiting period. But there is a condition. And what is that condition? In aradu islaha. Only if they wish reconciliation, only if they wish things to be better, only if they want things to be better, then they should take their wives back. But if the situation is going to be the same, that the husband is still going to do zulm on her, he's not fixing the problem which is what caused the divorce, then in that case, what's the point of doing rujur? If life is still going to be miserable, then why do rujur? In aradu islah. And remember, islah is to put things right, to put things proper. So if they really want things to be better, then they should do rujur. And over here you see, ahaqqu, that the men have more right. What does it mean by more right? That even if the woman does not want, even if the woman does not want, still if the man wishes, then he has more right. The woman does not have any right over here. It's the man's decision. Now, we see over here that previously, the man used to divorce his wife and then take her back. And then he would divorce his wife and he would take her back. And then he would divorce his wife and take her back, even if this happened 100 times. And this way, just imagine if a woman is constantly being divorced and being taken back. Divorced and taken back. This is not a healthy relationship. The woman is living a life of misery and sadness. So over here, the condition has been set that if you want islah, only then do rujoo. If you're going to do the same thing, that you're going to take her back and then you're going to divorce her, you're going to take her back and divorce her, then don't do rujur. Let her live in peace. So if the intention is for reconciliation, then he should call her back. وَلَهُنَّ, and for them. You see the lam over here? Lam indicates in their favor. In whose favor? In the favor of hunna. Who does hunna refer to? The women. So for them, meaning due to them, due to the women, who does the women refer to? The wives. Mithlu, similar to, alladhi, that which alayhinna, is upon them. What does it mean by this? Lahunna means they have rights. They have rights. Similar to that which is upon them, meaning that which is expected of them. What is expected of them? Their responsibilities. Their responsibilities. So just as the women have some responsibilities, similarly, they also have some rights. Or, just as the man has some rights, just as the man has more haq concerning something, similarly, the woman also has some rights. It's not that all the rights have been given to the man, and the woman is just to listen and obey and have no rights and demand nothing or anything like that. No. Lahun. In their favor are rights, due to them are rights, similar to those that are upon them. Meaning just as the men have some rights over them. How? Bil ma'ruf, in the manner that is approved. What is ma'ruf? Ma'ruf is from urf. Urf is that which is recognized. So ma'ruf is that which is generally acceptable. Meaning it is customary. It is acceptable in the culture, in the tradition, in the religion. It's not something so strange that shocks people. So women have rights according to what is reasonable, according to what is approved in a culture. So we see over here that the wife has specific rights upon her husband, just as the husband has specific rights upon his wife. The woman has responsibilities, and the woman also has rights. Just as a woman is expected to fear Allah with regards to the rights of her husband, similarly, the man should fear Allah with regards to the rights of his wife. We see that no relationship can work if both the parties do not fulfill their responsibilities and do not give the rights of others. No relationship can work. Of an employer and employee, of a husband and wife, no relationship can work unless and until both the parties play their roles properly. So over here, although men have more right, it has been clearly stated that the women also have some rights, so don't neglect them. The Prophet ﷺ said, he advised the men that فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ فِي النِّسَاءِ, fear Allah regarding your women. For you have taken them by Allah's covenant and were allowed to enjoy with them sexually by Allah's words. Meaning you took an oath, you made an aqd, you made a contract. So you should fear Allah regarding the women. You're allowed to enjoy them and you have taken responsibility. So you have the right of them that they do not allow anyone you dislike to sit on your mat. What does it mean? That you have the right that they should not allow anyone to come into your house without your permission. So if your husband does not like that somebody comes to your house, then you should respect that likeness or dislike of the husband. And if they do that, then discipline them leniently. That if the woman disobeys, then how should he discipline her? Leniently. The women have the right to be spent on and to be bought clothes in what is reasonable. Now it doesn't mean that the woman demands that every Eid I want a dress which has crystals on it or something like that. What does it mean? That which is reasonable. So they have the right to be spent on and they have the right to be bought clothes in what is reasonable. So we see that the men have rights, the women have rights. And what are the other rights that the women have? That they should be treated with kindness, that the man should spend upon them, the man should feed them, the man should clothe them, he should not hate her, he should not dislike her for no reason, and obviously according to the custom, according to what is reasonable. Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, who was he? A companion of the Prophet. He would say, I like to adorn myself for my wife, just as I like for her to adorn herself for me. Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, companion of the Prophet, he used to say that just as I like that my wife should dress up for me, similarly, I like that I should dress up for her, because she also has some rights. It's not just me who has rights. Many times in our cultures we expect the women to be dressed up all the time and the man can go around the house in his pajamas. And the woman, she should be dressed up all the time, she should look nice. Yes, she should, of course. But the man should also give the right to the woman. Similarly, Wakir, who was Wakir? The teacher of Imam Shafi'i. He related that Ibn Abbas said that I like to take care of appearance for my wife just as I like for her to take care of her appearance for me. So it's not just about adorning oneself. It's about taking care of the appearance. Taking care of the appearance. It's not just about putting nice clothes. It's about being clean. It's about having a good breath. It's about brushing your teeth every morning. It's about cutting your nails so that when they see you with your long nails, they're not disgusted. So both have rights and both have responsibilities. And both must fulfill them in order for the relationship to be healthy, in order for the relationship to work. However, Allah says over here that وَلِلْرِجَالِ, and for the men. الرِجَال is a plural of رَجُل. And who is a رَجُل? A man. So رِجَال, plural of that, men. So for the men, meaning in their favor, عَلَيْهِنَّ, upon them, meaning upon the women, upon the wives, there is a daraja. There is a rank. What is daraja? Daraja is from dal, ra, jim. And daraja is used for a rank, a degree, a stage. The word daraja is from the same root which is used for a ladder. When you go up a ladder, you go up several levels. So the men have a degree above the women. But this is darajatun, one level, or in one way. They have a degree above the women. We see that both the man and woman, they are to live together. And if a person is cooking something, and another person comes and starts cooking with them, the same food, what's going to happen? Too many cooks? Spoil the broth. Too many cooks? Spoil the food. Why? Because one person thinks she put the salt. And they think that you have put the salt. They thought you put the egg in. And you thought they put the egg in. At the end, what happens? Nobody put the egg. Or the egg was put twice. So when there are two people, when there are two leaders of just one thing, then what happens? It doesn't work. There is conflict, there is competition, and the end product is affected. The relationship is affected, which is why two women cannot run one kitchen. So, because the husband and wife are living together, therefore, one has been given a level higher. One has been made the head chef. Why? To make the final decisions. Because if two people are given equal authority, then there would be a division and split and strife all the time. There would be strife all the time. And when there is one leader, then what happens? Even if there is disagreement, if the leader says, okay, this is what we have to do, what do? You do it anyway. And the thing gets done. And if nobody takes charge, if there is no leader there, then it's going to affect the work. So similarly, the men and women have rights, they have responsibilities, similar to each other. However, men have a degree higher than the women, and that degree is of responsibility. That degree is of responsibility. What does it mean by responsibility? That the man has to spend upon the woman. The man has to give the mahr. When a man and woman get married, the woman does not have to give any mahr. The man has to give the mahr. Similarly, when a man and woman are married, it's not the woman who must bring the paycheck home. Who is it? It's the man. And this daraja is also in authority. That the man has the authority over the woman. What does that mean? That in many situations, it's the man who makes the final decision with regards to something. And in this context, which is of divorce, it is the man who has the authority to pronounce divorce. The woman does not have that authority. Because if the woman is given that authority, then perhaps no marriage would last more than a year or more than a month. Because sometimes when women, they're overcome by their emotions, then they don't think straight. Many of you agree with me. I'm sure most of you agree with me. Just think of it. A woman who goes through her period every month. During her period, because of the pain that she's going through, because of the emotional situation that she's in, spiritually, mentally, she does not think properly many times. She does not make proper decisions. Similarly, with the responsibilities of childbearing and child rearing, because of that also the woman is not able to think properly. Really, after having children or during pregnancy, women see the effect of how their brain functions. They forget things. They don't remember about important things. Sometimes they forget to pray salah. Sometimes they forget to feed their children. So it affects the woman. And because the woman is different from the man does not go through any periods. He does not go through any childbearing. So therefore, he has been given this authority. And also, the men have a degree above women with regards to some rights. And what are those rights? That women have to obey them. The wife has to obey the husband. And also, if you look at it, in inheritance also, the man has a greater share compared to the woman. Why again? Because the man is responsible for spending upon the woman. If you look at it, the woman is receiving from every end. When she gets married, she receives. When a man gets married, he gives. at the time of marriage. Then after marriage, the woman is receiving and the man is giving. So the one time that a man gets a share, the only one time, and what is that time? The time of inheritance. At that time, the man has been given more. Why? Because again, he has to spend that on who? On his wife. So the men have been given a degree higher, a degree above the women. We learn in Surah An-Nisa, Allah says, الرِّجَالُ قَوَّمُونَ عَلَى النِّسَاءِ. The men are the maintainers over the women, meaning they are responsible for the women. Why? بِمَا فَضَّلَ اللَّهُ بَعْضَهُمْ عَلَى بَعْضٍ. Because of how Allah has given preference to some over others, in different ways. How Allah has given preference to some over others. So for example, men have more physical strength compared to women. Sometimes they're more emotionally stable compared to women. Sometimes women suffer from depression. They're too happy or they're too sad. But the men generally, they remain the same. They remain calm. And the ayah continues, وَبِمَا أَنْفَقُوا مِنْ أَمْوَالِهِمْ. And also because the men have to spend upon the women from their wealth. So the men have been given a degree higher because of their physical strength, because of their emotional and their mental stability compared to the women, and also because it is the responsibility of the man to spend upon the woman. We see that there are different rights. When it comes to life, there are different rights. There is a right to live. There is a right to education. There is a right to marriage. There is a right to worship. There is a right to freedom. When it comes to all of these rights, men and women are the same. They're equal. However, when it comes to social life, then there has to be some leader. There has to be some leader. No school can run without a leader. No car can be driven without a driver. One driver, not two. So similarly, no household, no family can run without a leader. And who is made the leader generally? The one who has been given responsibility. So the one who has been given responsibility is the one who is made the leader. So because the responsibility has been laid upon the man, therefore he is made the leader. Therefore, he has been given a degree above the women. Now remember that this does not mean that the men have a higher rank in the sight of Allah or in Jannah. No. When it comes to worship, when it comes to righteous deeds, both the men and women are equal. No one will be given superiority just because of their gender. Wallahu azizun hakeem. And Allah is mighty, and He is also wise. What does it mean by this? Allah is aziz. He can decide whatever He wants. We are no one to object. And this name of Allah is more relevant in this context especially, because someone is being given more authority, more right above another. And whenever somebody is given more authority, when they're given more rights, what do they think? I can do whatever I want. I can say whatever I want. I can do whatever I want. But what does Allah remind us of? That there is someone above you. There is someone greater than you. There is someone you are accountable to. So it is as though the men are being reminded that Allah is Aziz. Don't forget that. And Allah is Hakim. This is a reminder to the women that there is hikmah behind every decision, every command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah is Aziz and Allah is also Hakim. So if the person has more responsibilities, what does that mean? More work. So if a woman has been spared from extra work, she should be thankful. Imagine if she had to look after her children and also be responsible for bringing money home. And in situations where it happens to some women that the situation is such that she has to work, how difficult it is for her to leave her child every single day, not be allowed to spend time with her newborn child. Sometimes it happens, the situation does not allow the woman to be with the child, to stay at home. So if the woman was given this responsibility that doesn't matter if she's pregnant, doesn't matter how she's feeling, she has to work, then again, who would suffer? The woman would suffer. We see that all of these commands, all of these laws that Allah has given, who is being protected? It's the woman. And we have been made to think that all of Allah's commands are against us. If you look at all of these commands that we have studied in this lesson, from those of menstruation to divorce to everything, who's on the receiving end? The woman. If you look at it, men and women are physically different. And because they're physically different, they're programmed to do different things. Biologically, they're to do different things. And this is a general thing. Yes, you may find exceptions in which a woman is much stronger than a man, possible, in which a woman is much more intelligent, much more emotionally stable than a man, it's possible. But generally, if you look at all of the different societies, all of the different cultures in the world, then we will see that men and women are different. And because of this reason, men have been given the responsibility and the authority. Let's listen to the recitation.
والمطلقات يتربصن بأنفسهن ثلاثة قروء ولا يحل لهن أن يكتمن ما خلق الله في أرحامهن إن كن يؤمن بالله واليوم الآخر وبعولتهن أحق بردهن في ذلك إن أرادوا إصلاحا ولهن مثل الذي عليهن بالمعروف وللرجال عليهن درجة والله عزيز حكيم.
When it comes to divorce, pronouncing the talaq is the right of the man only. The woman cannot say, I divorce you. It's only the man who can say that. But if the woman feels that she cannot live with that man, she does not think that that marriage is going to work out successfully, so what she can do is, she can take khul, khalam'ain, which is basically that a woman gives back the mahr that the man gave her. Because the man gave her the mahr at the time of marriage. And by giving the mahr, he has made her halal. So if she wishes to dissolve that relationship, she has to give the mahr back. And in the case where the man gives a divorce, he cannot take the mahr back. And when the man has divorced his wife, and during the waiting period while she is in the house of the husband, then at that time, she's not to wear hijab or anything. She is in fact to adorn herself, to make herself more beautiful so that the relationship can work out. And with regards to the waiting period, because it says يَتَرَبَّصْنَ بِأَنفُسِهِنَّ, it means they should stay, meaning in their houses, not leave from there, and they should also not get married. So it refers to all of those women who are in their waiting period, whether pregnant or widowed or divorced. And ma'ruf meaning acceptable. It's culturally acceptable. It's not something very strange. It's not like something impossible. It's acceptable. Acceptable to the woman, acceptable to the family, acceptable to the norms of the society, acceptable to the religion, first of all. How much should a woman obey her husband? Bil ma'ruf, with that which is acceptable. The following verses are all about divorce. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك ونتوب إليك السلام عليكم ورحمة الله